just sitting here in my backyard, and it's just a beautiful day. It's been raining for so many days, and now the sun is finally shining, and been thinking about some stuff I read in a Spurgeon book this morning. I got a chance to sit down just for a few minutes, and even if you just read a few paragraphs, you can get really good stuff from a Spurgeon book. And I was trying to remember the title. The title of the book is something like Jewels from a Puritan's Garden. I think, as I recall, this little paperback is stuff that Spurgeon collected from working through Thomas Manton. Thomas Manton's sermons are like a massive multi-volume set. I think you can get it from Banner of Truth or one of those really great Reformed publishers. But Spurgeon went through and just pulled out all of the really, really vivid, good illustrations. That's one thing the Puritans were so good at, was illustrating. They used biblical illustrations, but they also used illustrations from nature and everything else. And one of the illustrations that I read this morning, just reading that book, was the illustration of a fast-moving stream and the fish that live in a fast-moving stream. And also how they swim, for the most part, against the current to get anywhere they really want to go. I guess that they can ride the current a little bit, but they have to turn and swim against the current. Whereas in a pond or, you know, in a body of water that's not moving like a river or a stream, fish can just kind of go wherever they want. But fish in a stream have to work to get anywhere they want to go, or else the stream will just carry them wherever the stream is going. And the illustration brings up the fact that very often you come across dead fish in the stream. And the illustration was, where do the dead fish go? Wherever the stream takes them. And I was thinking about the prevalence of all of the lunacy in our culture today, and how we've gotten to where we are with all of the LGBTism and all the racist stuff. And I've got a good racist thing I want to share with you. That something that came up today in my house on that topic. But just thinking about the youth today that are unregenerate, the youth in our culture today, whether they're raised in Christian homes or not, just like the dead fish, where will you find all of them? Where will you find all of them? You'll find them wherever the stream of culture is going, because they're not independent thinkers. They don't use their minds. They don't weigh anything carefully in their hearts or minds. They just go wherever the stream takes them. They are dead fish. And they just go with the stream to its destination. And so just thinking about that, and thinking about how so many of the youth today are just caught up in all of it. I mean, they believe all of it. They believe all the revolutionary ideas, the socialist ideas, communist ideas. Just thinking about Che Guevara. If you don't know who Che Guevara is, Che Guevara was a Argentine-born communist revolutionary. I think he was only about 39, I think, when he died. He was eventually captured by Bolivian forces in Bolivia, and wasn't assassinated. He was executed by the Bolivian government. But he was aligned with Fidel Castro in Cuba. And basically, Che Guevara, there's an iconic picture of him. Where he's got the communist star on his hat, and he's, you know, got long hair and a goatee and a mustache and everything. And Che Guevara is looking off into the distance, you know, like with this mean look on his face. And he's come to kind of embody and represent cool opposition to the status quo kind of thing. Unfortunately, he fought, because of the oppression that he saw in Latin America, that the solution to that was communism. And so he worked with Fidel Castro to overthrow the Batista regime, and became a cold-blooded murderer and executed hundreds of people and at the behest of Fidel Castro. And eventually, even Castro wasn't hardline communist enough for even Guevara, because, and this is the thing that amazes me about that, because the youth, like, in our country today, a lot of them think Che Guevara is, like, really cool. Che Guevara was responsible for the Soviets bringing all those missiles into Cuba. Remember the Cuban Missile Crisis? Where it was as close as the world ever came to nuclear Armageddon. because Cuba became a communist regime, even though Fidel Castro lied and said he wasn't a communist. Eventually it came out that he was a communist. Because if he had come right out and said he was a communist, he wouldn't have had the military support and that he needed. But anyway, so Castro lied. Eventually it comes out, I'm a Marxist, I'm a Leninist, yada, yada, yada. And his Minister of Economics and the Interior and Agriculture, I don't know what all Che Guevara was part of there, but he was responsible for their being allied with the Soviets. And the Soviets brought in those nuclear missiles. And of course, Cuba is right, you know, is not very far from the coast of Florida, and those missiles were in range of the majority of the continental United States. And eventually, thankfully, Nikita Khrushchev and John F. Kennedy decided, you know, let's not blow up the world. And so they backed down and withdrew their missiles from Cuba. And Che Guevara was outraged by it because he wanted them to fire those nukes at American cities like New York. In fact, Che Guevara is famous for saying that he was fully prepared to see New York City blasted off the earth. Okay, so he was kind of a nut. And of course, when the communist regime took over in Cuba, it utterly annihilated its economy and brought everyone there out from under an oppressive regime under Batista into a regime that was 1,000 times worse, where you added gross poverty and even more oppression than anyone could ever have imagined. Of course, that's what happened everywhere. Communist revolutions took place. They got rid of oppressive czarist regimes and oppressive monarchies and corrupted political governments. They got rid of those corrupt governments and replaced them with even more corrupt governments that were far, far, far worse. So that was supposedly a good thing. But I was just thinking about, you can get all these t-shirts, you know, t-shirts with that iconic picture of Che Guevara's face on it. And I'm just thinking, these young people have no idea who this guy was. No idea what an enemy of freedom that guy really was. And it just shows you the level of ignorance. Who is out there wearing Che Guevara shirts? The dead fish. The dead fish in the stream. And you want to find out where the unregenerate and where the dead fish and where people who grew up in Christian homes would have turned their back on God, or just grew up in the secular world and they've just bought all the propaganda that's been pumped into them. Where are they all now politically? What do they all believe in terms of their morals and their ethics and their view of politics and everything else? Just follow the stream. Just follow the stream. Where do all the dead fish go? Well, in America, it's to the LGBTism and to wokeism and to all this other ism stuff that's out there. Now, my 7-year-old daughter really, really, really wanted to learn to play chess because I was playing chess with Paul, my son Paul. I cannot beat him. He is so good at chess. He's like Iceman from Top Gun. He just wears you down until you do something stupid, then he's got you. But she really wanted to learn to play, so I taught her how to play chess. We play chess all the time. She wants to play chess from the time she gets up, and we probably played 8 games of chess today. And she finally asked me once, why does white always go first? Why is that the rule? Why does white always go first in chess? And I said, because the creators of chess were not woke. Even chess is racist. White goes before black. Of course, that's absurd. I have no idea where that rule comes from, but, you know, hey, to be woke, you're supposed to see racism in everything, right? Absolutely everything is racist. Even chess is racist. So she said, she was like, what? I said, don't worry about it, sweetheart. We'll talk about it later. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. In view of the mercies of God, offer yourself a living sacrifice, and do not be conformed to this world. You see, the stream of societal opinion and culture as long as it's unregenerate and as long as the gospel's not there, as long as the Bible is not loved and is not read and is not being taught, the dead fish just go wherever the stream takes them. The dead fish just flow with the stream. But to be transformed, you have to be renewed in your mind. Be transformed, that term metamorpho, metamorphosis, be metamorphosized, be changed by the renewing of your mind. See, the mind of man, as Martin Luther said, is mostly just error and poison. We don't get anything right, or very little right, without divine revelation. Now, certainly, the majority of cultures, but not all of them, have never extolled adultery, or extolled stealing or murder. Most of them have said, you know, those are no-nos, you're not supposed to do that. But the fact of the matter is, man, apart from divine revelation, is very foolish in what he thinks. And the idea of communism is just one of many, many, many examples of really, really bad ideas that don't take into consideration man's depraved and fallen nature. What was behind the whole communist idea? It was, well, look, everything is about oppression. You're either an oppressor, you're part of the bourgeoisie, or you're the oppressed, the proletariat. And what they wanted was the dictatorship of the proletariat. And they said, you know, Karl Marx and Engels in the Communist Manifesto said, the workers of the world have nothing to lose but their chains. Well, that was a big, big lie. They had a lot to lose other than their chains, like their freedom and things like food and clothes. And everywhere communism went, it produced famines, and which degenerated into cannibalism and all kinds of grotesque evil, the likes of which have never been seen in the history of mankind. And the idea was, well, look, if you have a classless society and everybody shares everything, then nobody will be jealous of each other. Sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, let's just let the government own everything, and they'll distribute to each person according to their need, and each person can work according to their ability. The problem with that is it doesn't give you any incentive to work, and it gives you no incentive to do anything well. It doesn't give you any incentive to try to better yourself. I was listening to a series of lectures on the history of communism and political ideology and the Crown Rights of King Jesus by Greg Bahnsen. And Bahnsen made the point that when he went to Russia before the communist dictatorships there finally collapsed, finally basically disintegrated under Mikhail Gorbachev. But before that, Bahnsen had been over in Russia and Kiev and different places there. And he said the service that they got going out to restaurants was atrociously bad. They'd stand there waiting to be seated for 25 minutes. And eventually, you know, Bonson's asking his Russian friends, what is the problem with this? These people don't, they have no sense of wanting to work hard here. They said, because no matter what they do, whether they show up to work or not, they are guaranteed income. And so they don't have any incentive. They don't have any incentive to work hard. That makes perfect sense. So the communist ideologues were, I'm just going to say it, dumb enough to think that people would do the right thing because it was right. People aren't like that. You can't make people contribute to your utopian dreams by pretending to pay them for a job well done. There's no incentive to work in a communist dictatorship or communist regime at all. It just doesn't work. Man doesn't have any incentive to work hard. If you're guaranteed a job and guaranteed to have income, no matter what, no matter how hard you work, well, who cares then? Who cares? You see, in a capitalist system, which is not perfect, but it's better than that, you can lose your job. You can get fired. You won't have a source of income. You won't get food. So there's incentive to work hard and to do your job well. And so that whole idea of man being perfectible by political means instead of the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit of God was and is today a pipe dream. It will never happen. Socialism, communism, all that stuff, big government, it doesn't work. And it's been demonstrated not to work, but it's not taught in the schools. It's not taught to anyone. Young people growing up today, they don't know anything about who Che Guevara was or what he stood for. He was one of the most hardcore communist ideologues of the 20th century. And he was more pure and hardcore and in his ideas than Castro, than many of the other ones. He didn't like the Soviet Union. They weren't hardcore enough about their communist ideas. So once again, what do we see going on today? We see the fruit of people are not born again. People aren't born again in this country because the gospel's been abandoned, but for the most part, by the professing Christian church. The church does not preach the true gospel. And what is the true gospel? The true gospel is justification by faith alone. It is that you get into heaven by the blood and righteousness of Christ alone. God calls all men everywhere. His heart goes out to the world. Turn from sin, repent of your sin, confess as sin what the scripture says is sin, and put your hope and your faith and your trust in Christ Jesus alone for your salvation. If that starts happening, if that message is taken off the shelf and preached again, we might see a revival. But as long as the church is doing politics, as long as the church is wanting to do this woke garbage, as long as it's fixated on other things than the gospel, it's not going to happen. And so the reason I wanted to make this video, that illustration about dead fish in a fast-moving stream, dead fish, where do they go? Wherever the stream takes them. And where's the stream in America going? It's going towards death, towards hell. LGBTism, wokeism, racism, lo and behold, all these young people that come out of these colleges or just spend any time on the internet, lo and behold, they're all in favor of it too. Why? Because they're dead fish. They're unregenerate people. And where do the unregenerate, foolish, unthinking masses go? They go wherever the streams and the winds of culture take them. Wherever that stream goes, wherever it flows, if there's the corpses of dead fish in that stream, that's where the dead fish will go. They'll go over there. What does the church need? What does America need more than anything? It needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man cannot be perfected by political ideas. Man's soul cannot be regenerated by the dictatorship of the proletariat. It cannot be made better by killing the bourgeoisie and the owners of the means of production. It's not going to be an economic solution. I mean, do we really think that the rise of immorality, the destruction of the family, the emasculation of men is a money problem? The problem is that human hearts are depraved and evil. And apart from being born again, apart from those stony hearts, those dead fish being made alive, they're never going to swim against the current. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And there's a risk, even among Christians. That's why that exhortation is there. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You want to be transformed. You want to be different from the world. You want to learn to swim against the current and get where you need to go, which is in the direction of holiness and walking with God. You need to be a devoted student of Scripture, the Holy Bible. That's the key. The church needs to go back to evangelizing the lost instead of hiding behind its doors and hoping they'll show up. We need to go out there and get those people and pray for them. We need to go to our knees and pray. We need to preach and pray. And the church needs to turn off its gadgets and start reading the English Bible again and meditating on it, meaning saying it to ourselves and our hearts and our minds and filling our hearts and minds with what it says, with its promises, and with the God and his glory that is revealed in its pages. Okay, I feel a little better now. I just wanted to get that off my chest. That illustration really affected me about dead fish going with the stream. Ugh. That's what's happening. I mean, you don't see young people today who don't go to church thinking for themselves. They don't think for themselves. They just go wherever the stream takes them. They are in favor of whatever the world around them is in favor of because they can't help but be conformed to this world. But as God's people, we must be transformed so that the salt and light that we are will be saltier and the light will shine brighter. Thank you for watching or listening.